like to welcome our next speaker to the stage, Dr. Jane Shapiro. Jane graduated from University of Bristol, came to Australia in 1992 and settled into general practice. The last 15 years she's subspecialised in adolescent and Aboriginal health, and in 2016 moved into sexual health work and is currently working at Western Sydney Sexual Health Centre with some great team there. Thanks very much, Jane.
Good morning. So I work at Western Sydney Sexual Health Centre. I'm the advanced trainee there. And in keeping with the theme of who to treat, this presentation describes the results of a survey of 13 clinicians and their attitudes to and beliefs about the treatment of asymptomatic sexual contacts of people with bacterial STIs, that is syphilis, gonorrhea and chlamydia. I'll refer to these sexual contacts as contacts for the rest of this talk in the interests of keeping to time. The aims of this survey were to increase our understanding of the beliefs of our staff in order to improve clinical outcomes with regard to the treatment of contacts, but also to undertake some social research and build a picture of what we, the clinicians, really think. The current situation is that we, like many others, are concerned with the effects of our treatment strategy, the balance between antimicrobial resistance and our role as antimicrobial stewards on the one hand, and providing the right treatment for our patients, their partners, and preventing onward transmission of STIs into the wider susceptible population on the other hand. Traditionally, most sexual health clinics have been treating sexual contacts empirically, and as we've heard, some have changed their guidelines. We haven't changed our clinic policy and still prescribe empiric treatment to contacts of STIs. And part of the reason we haven't changed is because even though we're a Sydney clinic, we think we're a bit different. So this is the Parramatta River that flows past our clinic, and it's very nice to look out on. The Western Sydney Local Health District is the grey shaded area on the map. It's a large area that spreads north and west from Parramatta. And it's a culturally diverse area. A third of our local population was born overseas, and there is a large Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population. Our patients are demographically different to many other urban sexual health centres, but we've been considering the same questions. Should we change or not? The staff survey is a part of a broader change management process. Behavioural change theories suggest that behaviour can be predicted by understanding people's motivation. Focusing on staff attitudes and beliefs can give us insight into this. It's assumed that staff beliefs are congruent with our clinic guidelines, but no one has tested this. No one's ever asked us. So we sought to gather some evidence, and the results of this survey will inform future clinical guideline changes. The survey was anonymous. It was delivered via SurveyMonkey. Consisted of 10 questions, of which I'll show a synthesis of the results. It was delivered to clinicians, 6 doctors and 7 nurses, who are all able to provide medication. The respondents were very experienced. Over half of them had worked in sexual health medicine for 10 or more years. We asked questions about their opinions regarding the treatment of asymptomatic sexual contacts of people with gonorrhea, chlamydia and syphilis only. This was partly because our treatment guidelines are quite similar to those infections, and Mycoplasma genitalium testing and treatment is a bit of a different kettle of fish, and we excluded HIV and other viruses for the purposes of this survey. So first of all, we wanted to see what the current situation was, what was actually going on. We recorded information regarding staff perceptions of the incidence of STI rates. 100% of staff thought thought that the rates of syphilis, the first column, had risen in the last 10 years. 12 of the 13 thought the rates of gonorrhea had risen in the last 10 years, with one person thinking they'd stayed the same, and 11 people thought that chlamydia rates had risen in that time frame, and two thought that they'd stayed the same. In fact, the incidence rates of syphilis have actually gone up 268%, gonorrhea 184%, and chlamydia 175% in our area in the last 6 years. So the next question, do we do what we're supposed to do? Our current practice, which is in line with the current clinical guidelines, local, state, national, and international, is to empirically treat sexual contacts. The question was, do you usually recommend antimicrobial treatment of contacts? And over 90% of clinicians said they did treat contacts of gonorrhea and chlamydia, and all clinicians said that they treated contacts of infectious syphilis. So what did they think about this? What were clinicians' opinions about the numbers of contacts that we were treating? The yellow columns represent not enough, green the right amount, and red too many people. About two-thirds of staff believed that we were treating too many contacts of gonorrhea and chlamydia, and just over half the respondents believed that we were treating the right amount of contacts of syphilis. Very few people thought that we weren't treating enough contacts. I looked at the data from this year, and in fact we are treating 83% of all gonorrhea contacts, 85% of all chlamydia contacts, and 100% of all syphilis contacts. So when asked what matters most when managing contacts of people with STIs, most staff identified the well-being of the patient as their primary focus, plus the well-being of partners of the contact only in the case of syphilis. Concerns about antimicrobial resistance and the impact on the wider community did not matter as much. And I think this is to be expected because we as staff identify ourselves as providers of healthcare for individuals. All right. Okay, this is a messy slide. I'm not going to spend very long on it, but it illustrates the range of the next few questions which concern patient characteristics. Do we treat everyone the same way? We wanted to discover if there were patient factors, demographic, behavioural aspects, or clinical features that would affect the way a clinician behaved towards the patient. The question was, what patient factors increase your decision to treat a contact? And it's actually easier to understand the results of this in words rather than on the graph. So the factor that influenced most clinicians towards treating empirically of all contacts was being an MSM contact of syphilis. And in decreasing order of importance after this for syphilis contact, was being transgender, a sex worker, being under 25 years old, coming from a culturally and linguistically diverse background, on HIV PrEP, having had previous STIs and having multiple partners. Being homeless, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person, having problems with drug or alcohol use, or having suffered domestic violence, were factors that only influenced half the clinicians towards treatment. For gonorrhea contacts, the pattern was similar as for syphilis, but staff were more likely to treat contacts of chlamydia if they were young, under 25, or sex workers on PrEP, and if they'd had multiple partners. So are there some patients who might not come back? That's really important when we're thinking about not treating at the initial contact. Staff were asked about their perceptions of characteristics of a patient that made them more or less likely to return for treatment. The question of a patient returning is very important. So whether you treat empirically or test and wait and then treat according to the result. It's clear from our results that on the red side, being homeless, an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person, taking drugs regularly, or coming from a culturally and linguistically diverse background featured in our clinicians' minds as being factors that would mean that the patient would not return for treatment. And over on the green side, having a previous STI, being on PrEP or being MSM increased the staff belief that the contact would return for treatment. So, bringing it all together, STI rates are increasing. We follow guidelines. We think we treat too many contacts of gonorrhea and chlamydia. Attitudes to syphilis are different than our attitudes to gonorrhea and chlamydia. We prioritise the well-being of our patients over beliefs about antimicrobial resistance and population health. And we have opinions about who to treat empirically, who will come back for treatment, which may affect management. Bearing in mind that this was a small survey, fairly crude, and that focused on our staff, and as such is not generalizable, the next phase would involve more surveys that could be undertaken in different clinical settings. A more informative and nuanced result could be obtained with some qualitative semi-structured interviews. We can use the information from these to inform a process of workplace changes, and the questions and dilemmas raised could also provide targeted material for staff education. And finally, I would just like to say thank you to the staff at Western Sydney Sexual Health Centre who participated in the survey and have been very interested in the whole topic of contact treatment. Thank you.